Get on Team Shaq with WynnBET. We're playing parlays, boosting odds, and laying the wildest prop bets. Don't miss another game. Download the WynnBET sports betting app today.
Sign up today and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 first-time wager on a straight bet or parlay. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to a long-awaited episode of Swings and Mishes. I'm your co-host and producer, Jeremy Taché, joined by Craig Mish on this lovely Tuesday morning. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jeremy. It is great to see you. Great to catch up with you. Our first podcast here of November. I don't even think that this could be our first one of October, too. It's been a while. It's been a while. I mean, you have become the big superstar now. You just don't have any time to do these anymore. I mean, Miami mic'd up and covering the Heat and the Panthers and Marlin stuff, high school football. I just can't keep up with you anymore. So I'm thankful for you that you were able to give me about 30 minutes to do this today here on Swings and Mishes. Don't ever forget where you started, Jeremy.
I hope everyone knows the truth is that I'm not big timing Craig at all. And this is our first moment to have this conversation.
Every day.
Let's get out of here.
Want to do a podcast, Craig, Jeremy? No.
Get out of here.
I'm too busy, man. I'm making news with Tyler Hero. I don't have time for your nonsense and Swings and Mishes. What are you going to do? Ice cream stuff, Craig? Come on, get back to real stuff.
Thankful for you. Thankful for this podcast. Happy Thanksgiving week, everyone. And Marlins fans are probably feeling pretty thankful, Craig, with the news that you reported earlier today that the Marlins and Sandy Alcantara are close to an extension here. Obviously, the Marlins extended Miguel Rojas earlier this offseason, 5 years north of $55 million. Craig, where do things stand at the moment with Sandy Alcantara and the Marlins?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank my buddies over at Sunshine Landscaping for coming to my house and taking care of my backyard in time for Thanksgiving. Those guys do a great job. By the way, it's S-O-N-S-H-I-N-E, Sunshine Landscaping. Those guys are awesome in Broward County. For those of you who need one, I would highly recommend. And given that, you know, this is my podcast, it's great to be able to talk about people that take care of me. So I want to make sure that I take care of them. So Sandy's going to sign a long-term extension with the Marlins, and it's going to be soon. I don't know exactly when, but it's coming. It's coming very quickly. I would say, in all likelihood, let me try to think this through. I think it's fair to say that before December, this would get done. I mean, I really think that this could be done even before Thanksgiving, too. So the way that it stands right now, as for people who follow on social media, is that it's going to be a 5-year extension. And I mentioned north of $55 million. I think it's right around that range. Of course, there could be some other things involved in that. So, you know, keep an eye for that. And again, getting to the intricacies of the deal, you know, I don't think is as important as you just kind of, everyone now knows sort of what the framework is. And so this will be the most money ever given to a player with this amount of arbitration left on his contract for a pitcher. So they will break history as far as that is concerned. The framework for this is very similar, Jeremy, to Carlos Martinez when he did this with the St. Louis Cardinals. Ironically, same people involved at the time doing this. A little bit of a different agency switch. But regardless of that, you know, Sandy now with CAA, they're the ones that are doing this contract now. So what is the hang up? Why isn't it done as of Tuesday? I mean, there are little things in contracts, things that players want, things that the team wants. I want this. We'll give you this. Okay. But we want this back instead. I mean, these are not deal breaking things. These are really minuscule in terms of a major league baseball player in an organization, but things that both sides are, you know, sort of going back and forth on. And there's no need for me to really get into it at this point. When the deal is done, I'll give you all those details, and you know, the organization will slap me around a little bit. That's fine. But I'll give you those when that comes out. So expect Sandy to be signed long-term here, and this should be done in the next week or so, maybe less, maybe more, but I'm very confident, you know, to put something like that out there. You have to know how confident I am in this being done. Very exciting for me personally. I think that probably in terms of media, I go back further with Sandy than maybe anybody else in the country. I'm
going to mention that actually.
Yeah, when he came here from the Dominican Republic, I remember hearing about him. He must have been 16 or 17. I remember speaking to him on the Cardinals side back when you could go freely back and forth with the Marlins and Cardinals on their spring training sites. And I remember one of his agents at the time introducing me to him when Carlos had just done his deal, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and saying that this was going to be the next guy that was going to do that, and he's going to be on the Cardinals. And so Sandy didn't speak any English at the time. I almost had no communication with him whatsoever. And he was just a young, skinny, tall kid who could throw really hard. And I remember watching his bullpen. He probably was 18. I think he was probably 18. I remember watching a bullpen of his. And the ball flies out of his hands, going real fast, all over the place. but you could see that like something was going to be there. And then fast forward a couple of years as he's sort of developing through the system, and I had kept in touch with Sandy throughout that time too. But then what happened was Stanton was on the block, right? Mm. And so as I was intently, as probably most people remember, covering that. I was told, hey, if he goes to the Cardinals, if Stanton goes to the Cardinals, Sandy Alcantara is going to be the centerpiece of that deal. And that, of course, Stanton turned down the Cardinals and he turned down the Giants and he ended up going to the Yankees. And so naturally, when Ozuna was being dealt, it was brought to my attention. This is the guy that's coming back again. It's going to be Sandy Alcantara. So by that time, I had a lot of familiarity with him. Kept in touch with Sandy throughout his time in the minor leagues, was super excited for him to make his major league debut. Ironically, his first season with the Marlins, he goes on the injured list. If you remember this, Jeremy, I don't know if you remember this, but Sandy, I mean, he'd probably get mad at me, whatever. He cut himself shaving under his armpit, and then it developed an infection. Did you know that's the only time Sandy has been on the injured list? That is the only time, you know, the COVID thing, but that is the only time that he has been hurt in all the time that he's been in the big leagues. So why do I tell this story? It is a huge testament to a young man who has grown as much or more than any player that I've seen come over from the Dominican Republic, who has taken on a leadership role, who has, with help, of course, of Mel Stottlemyre and the Marlins, Don Mattingly too, has really become the leader of the pitching staff, if not the leader of the entire team. I always say that I'm so amazed of how well he speaks English, because I just can't believe it. He just literally spoke no English whatsoever and learned so fast, and does all of his English interviews so well too. So I could not be more proud of him. I think everybody should be. It's just a great testament to somebody who has ability and found an organization and within himself to be able to unlock it. So I'm probably getting ahead of my whole self here, because we're going to end up doing another podcast when he signs his extension, but I ain't going to wait. And so congratulations in advance, as Sandy is now the biggest contract, Jeremy, given out by this new ownership group of the Miami Marlins. Correct. Whenever it does happen, this will be the biggest deal, the most money that they have committed to.
Well, and I can't think of a better guy to give it to be honest, who's a better representative of sort of the, you know, the success within the regime change, where there's been success here in these trades. I mean, you look back at the trade of Marcell Ozuna to the Cardinals and you get in exchange Sandy Alcantara. You mentioned this earlier, Zach Gallen, who turns into Jazz Chisholm Jr. Those are a couple of centerpieces of your organization that, you know, were a part of that trade before. And so now for Sandy, who I remember we conducted with Swings and Mishes, one of his first ever English speaking interviews.
That's right.
When he was first with the Marlins and finally feeling comfortable enough to do that. And I remember the trepidation that he had, the nerves on his face. And now, you know, that guy just a few years later, the swaggering confidence that he has after throwing gems and then speaking in English, like, yeah, I was dealing out there. Yeah, my slider was amazing. Like, it's been special to watch him grow too. And as someone who's relatively close in age, it's kind of been cool to see him grow. So super excited for Sandy. And obviously as just a fan of his, it's exciting to know he'll be here for a number of years going
forward. It'll get done. It'll be soon. Mm-hmm. I can't give you exactly when, but it got to the point from a reporting perspective for me that just to take you behind the curtain, like I always do with my reporting, I like to keep it real, is that it got to the point where I knew that if I didn't say something, that somebody else would. It was really getting to that point. And Friday I went to the turkey giveaway. The Marlins did a fantastic thing for the community, giving away tons of turkeys. I don't know how many. There's so many people in that parking lot. I probably should have the exact number, but you know, community wise, you know, and that's another great thing that I could say. You know, I've been so tough and critical and negative lately, but it is really great to have. I mean, they asked Sandy to come to this turkey distribution in the midst of people like me asking about contract extension, and they put him right there. I mean, the Marlins have always made these guys available and accountable to talk about. So just want to say that. So nice job by them. But in addition, got a chance, Jeremy, to talk to Kim Ng one-on-one for a bit. Derek Jeter, of course, was an interview. Everybody saw that, I'm sure, by now. And, you know, and of course, talk to other, you know, other people in the organization. So I'd love to get into, I mean, what everybody really wants to know here, which is free agency and trades, and the Sandy story is great, but I have a feeling people have tuned in for more than that. So I'm going to give you as much as I can.
Well, you have been sitting back more a bit in terms of the way that we've sort of felt your presence this offseason. It's been a little more reserved, Craig Mish.
That is true.
And what's the reason for that? What's sort of been the thinking behind that?
Yeah, you know, it's true. Now, I don't want to come off at all here as self-centered or somebody who thinks that I have any impact at all whatsoever with what's going on the Marlins. Make no mistake about it. I do not. Okay. But as a reporter, you can ruin trades and you can ruin free agency. And I think that a couple of years ago, I just really didn't care. Like, I just kind of was like, everything that I would hear, I would just put out there. And again, I was only putting out truth, but did I triple source the stuff? I don't know. Probably not. I just kind of was like having fun. Everyone knows me doing the percentage meters and JT and all that other stuff. And all that was fact. I mean, all that was true. I didn't just throw names out there. Like this was information that I gathered. But the more and more that I've done this, and sort of over the last year, I've kind of decided this is such a big offseason for this team in particular that I don't want to step in and get in the way of saying something that could hurt one way or the other. And I'm just going to kind of let the guys who do the rumors. And when I know something to be a fact, and when I believe something is close to happening, maybe I'll report it. Maybe I won't, but I just don't want to put myself in harm's way this year of that. And so after this is all said and done, when it's all over, I will go through all the players that they were going for, all, you know, the trades that they almost made. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, guys, but I'm going to do it. But I'm going to let them execute this plan that they have in the offseason without throwing too much stuff out there that is just part of discussion, because I don't want anything to go the wrong way. For those of you who think, you know, I'm negative and, you know, and I just don't believe in anything, this should tell you that that's not the case. My investment is for them to win.
Right.
And if I really wanted to hurt the situation, we could do that for the next 10 minutes. I literally could, but I'm not going to do it. So when things are close, I will give you the information, whether it is here on the podcast, whether it is on Twitter or with the Herald. By the way, I just re-upped with them again. So I'll be with them for a period of time as well. And you guys will all have it. But this year, in terms of rumors, Jeremy and I will get into it here based on what's been reported.
Right.
But I simply put, I'm not just going to throw caution to the wind with every little thing that I'm hearing this year. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, this year I'm not going to do it. Facts only for me this year. Facts only. That's it.
We're going to have to change your Twitter display name to Craig Mish, facts only, and facts just only, just have that be what's going on. Hashtag
that's
facts
it.
Only. Well, all right. So not on your reporting here, but I would love to delve into some of the stuff that's been floated out there by others so that we can sort of verify and have some conversation around it. So, starting with John Heyman said that the Marlins have made contact with both Nick Castellanos, the hometown kid, and then Starling Marte, who obviously was here last year. What's the legitimacy there with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, contact with both those things are true. And by the way, John does, you know, I know John very well personally, does a great job. Anything that we discuss here on the podcast is me not taking shots at them. I've been on the other side. I've been, you know, when the Atlanta stuff was going on in Real Muto, the Atlanta reporters were so miserable. They were all shooting at me, telling me that I was wrong. I am definitely not in the business of doing that. So what you should do is, with anybody who reports anything national, you should always choose to do whatever you want, believe or not believe. That's completely up to you. I'm not here to stomp all over somebody else's reporting. Just keep that in mind before we go forward. In terms of seriousness for both, there is not, in my opinion, based on what I know. I think the Marlins would love to have Nick Castellanos, absolutely no question. This is a Scott Boras client. This thing is going down to the bitter end, February, max offer, put your last offer in. What's the most you're going to go? Will that benefit Miami or not? I don't know. Who am I to say? I think not. I think Miami is probably not the kind of team that's going to wait and roll the dice that they have the most money to get at free agency at the end. But I am hopeful at least that they'll be in that conversation. Why do I say that? Well, unfortunately, on the side of Starling Marte, while I do feel that the discussions are genuine in nature, John did follow up a report, which I had heard. But again, different me this year, not going to be crapping all over things just for the sake of it. It is not an offer that's even close to what to what Starling Marte will accept. Just a significantly well below expectation offer, from my understanding. And so I do not think that there is almost any chance that the Marlins end up back with Starling Marte. Furthermore, it really doesn't, you know, and I like Starling Marte, but furthermore, I don't even understand the sense of this whole thing. You had Starling Marte on your team in July. And so you could have signed them then by, you know, throwing the money that they're asking now to try and get them, but maybe a little bit more. Why are we going back down this road again? It's a little perplexing to me. It may be just along the lines of doing due diligence on all free agents that are out there. But what happens is when we hear something, and when you guys hear something out there, or see something on social media, you think all of a sudden that's something that they're doing. And could I have jumped in at that point and said, bucket of water, wet blanket, not happening?
Right.
No, I'm letting that happen by organically.
letting it play itself out.
And if somebody else reports it, I'm glad to talk about it. But I personally don't think that Starling is coming back here. I've been told the offers are genuine. Let's see what happens. Okay, fine. But in my opinion, based on what I know, I really don't think so. So, you know, as far as both players being contacted, yes. As far as signing both, I'm iffy on it. But the Marlins will have to make a decision. If they're willing to wait on Castellanos, then maybe they are one of the last teams standing on that. But I don't think like he's a guy that's getting signed in the next week, Jeremy.
So contact, maybe not contract. Hey, all right.
John, wow.
Another John.
Has it been that long?
That's why Miami Mic'd Up exists. That type of joke right there.
It's a hectic time of year. There's weddings, graduations, spring sports, and much more. We're busier than ever right now. And sometimes we forget to just take a second for ourselves. You know, a little you time. So this season, take a second to enjoy an ice-cold Coors Light, because you deserve a beer that's made to chill. At the end of a stressful week, I like to open the fridge and see those icy cold Blue Mountains popping off the Coors Light can. That's how you know the beer is cold. And you know what? I'm a sucker for it. It's crisp and refreshing. The beer is perfect for unwinding. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. So when I need a second for myself, I reach for a beer that's made to chill. That's Coors Light. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/BlueWire. Again, CoorsLight.com/BlueWire. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
If you don't have players on the field with the right skills, whether it's breakaway speed or elite playmaking ability, you're going to have a tough time winning. The same goes for your business. Indeed is a fast, simple way to make sure you're hiring MVPs. Start hiring right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through April 30th. If you're hiring, you need Indeed, because Indeed is the hiring partner where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And Indeed is the only job site where you're guaranteed to find quality applicants that meet your must-have requirements, or else you don't pay. Go to Indeed.com/BlueWire to claim your $75 credit before April 30th. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Not John Heyman, John Morosi. He talked about the Blue Jays with the Marlins. He mentioned Sandy and Pablo and Trevor and threw out a bunch of different things with the Marlins and their pitching staff and their depth. He also threw out the name Alejandro Kirk as a catching option coming back to the Marlins. Obviously, Sandy's not going anywhere based off of this extension, but is there any sort of, you know, momentum between the Blue Jays and the Marlins together?
Yeah, I'm not sure how all of this was derived. I'm guessing some of it was at the GM meetings and John, who, you know, does a great job on MLB.com mm-hmm. and MLB Network, reporting this reporting these things. But I mean, from the, you know, just from the sourcing that I did, I was given a pretty swift like no on a lot of that mm-hmm. stuff, which is fine. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is true. Maybe it is not. I can only tell you independently from, you know, my reporting is that, first of all, I just kind of find it hard to believe that regardless of the talent offensively, and I know Kirk's name was thrown out a couple times, that an organization based on skill, based on tools, based on fitness, no offense to Kirk, is going to throw Kirk behind home plate for 100 games. That is just, you know, again, speaking of my opinion, Blue Jays have another catcher in their system, in their organization, which is certainly interested. His name is Moreno. I would invite all of you to take a look at him. He played in the Arizona Fall League. Maybe that's more of a of a possibility there. That is just me spitballing and not knowing. All I can tell you about Toronto is, yes, I do think that there is some stuff there. I don't know if it's going to work out or not, but these two teams, at least from that part, conceptually speaking, I think that there is a chance that these two teams can get together. And I will be watching very closely the Blue Jays and the Marlins as we move forward.
Well, and then there's other trade partners that have been put out there. And you yourself actually mentioned Byron Buxton as a possibility for the Marlins in center field. Why Byron Buxton? And is there, you know, momentum there toward getting Buxton in center field for the Marlins?
I've done a lot of research on this and a lot of discussion on Byron Buxton, because to me, he fits the bill of my opinion on the Marlins, which mm-hmm. is maybe different than the way that they see it. The way that I see it is that I think they're further away to contending than they do. Just my opinion. I just don't think that there is a multifaceted approach of two or three guys that all of a sudden is going to make them into 90 wins next year. I just don't see it. I see Byron Buxton as that player. That's what I see. I see a player that is a huge risk, but one that can come in and make you a contender and take a player on his shoulders, yep. higher level than what Starling Marte can do offensively, defensively, stealing bases, hitting home runs, clubhouse guy, family guy from so many positive things on Buxton for me. But again, there's a lot of negative too, injuries, contract. So here's kind of where this Buxton thing stands. Similar to Castellanos in a way, Miami would be playing a little bit of a poker game, waiting this one out too, because from my intel, from what I am told, no one really knows for sure what the Twins are going to do about Buxton. Apparently there is just, you know, like every organization, there's some sort of disconnect that not everybody is on the same page. Some people feel that, yes, let's give him the, I don't know, 100 million, 90 million, whatever that number is. And let's sign him to, because he turned down 70 as previously reported. I think The Athletic reported turned down 70. So let's say the number is 90. Let's say in Florida, the number is 80. I don't know exactly what it is. So my understanding is that there's part of the organization that wants to extend. And there's part of the organization that is like, wow, taking a deeper look at the Twins, I mean, maybe we should cash out at this point. I mean, the White Sox are, you know, going to be contending. Detroit is coming on too. I mean, maybe it is time for the Twins to hit that reset. I don't know that is the case, but these are some of the things that I'm hearing. So are the Marlins interested perhaps in trading for Byron Buxton? I believe so. I do believe that to be the case, but it is complicated. I don't think they or anyone else knows for sure what the situation is going to be with him moving forward. And then there are other complications with it. There, you know, again, Jeremy, this is a player that is going to be a free agent at the end of the season. Miami could be trading for a player that they only have for 1 year again. Do they want to go down that road? My counter to that in conversations that I have had is, boy, wouldn't that be a nice problem to have Byron Buxton and you're 10 games over on July 31st and you're thinking, what do we do? And you're holding a bag with $100 million. It's an easy question for me. Maybe it was a little different with Marte. They weren't playing well. He's older. Even though they should have kept him, in my opinion, too, that's another scenario that could potentially play out. It is also my understanding that if Buxton was traded, and I want to make this point, if Buxton was traded, not just to Miami, but anywhere else, there is an opportunity for that team to have a window of time where they could negotiate a long-term contract with Buxton before that trade is done. Okay. So that could happen. It is not something that happens all the time. And what would have to happen is that the player and the player's representatives would have to agree to allow that window to happen to negotiate. And it is my understanding, based on my intel, is that in this situation, and maybe even others, but in this situation, potentially that would be allowed to happen. It doesn't mean that that would even get done. Nothing could get done and the trade could get smashed. But these are all things, and so I want people to understand just how complicated this scenario is. Number one, we don't know if the Twins want to trade Byron Buxton. Number two, we don't know if they want to extend him. Number three, we don't know if the team acquiring Buxton is even interested in extending him long-term. And then number four, from Miami's point of view, if you're going to make this deal with Buxton, you better be asking about Mitch Garver too. So now there's a catcher involved in the trade, and now all of a sudden, whatever they were asking for straight up for Buxton becomes a lot more. And my understanding is also the asking price, even in a limited basis, when Minnesota has sort of piqued the interest of other teams, it's a lot. They're still asking for a lot. Is there precedent for this? Of course there is. Francisco Lindor, this just happened with Francisco Lindor. He was traded with Carlos Carrasco. He went to the Mets. Look at the return that Cleveland got in return. Was it fantastic? I don't think so. It was okay. They got Amed Rosario. They got Andrés Giménez. They got some decent players back in return. I mean, to me, no brainer for Miami as far as that is concerned. So trust me, just because I'm not on this podcast and just because I'm not talking about this all the time publicly, I am discussing this privately a lot, if not every single day. So that's the Buxton scenario. And so I wish I could just tell you, Jeremy, and everybody else out there, that it is just that simple as just trade for the player. But look how much I just gave you, not even to mention the guy's been hurt like every year for the past 4 or 5 years. And so what about that? All of a sudden, now you're trading these high-end prospects for a player that can't stay on the field. So I understand Miami's and other teams, their interest, but it's got to be at the right cost. And they don't even really have a full cost right now because they don't know if the Twins are going to trade him or not. I know that was long-winded on Buxton, but I want everybody to understand. At the end of the day, if Miami got Buxton, to me, it would be huge. It would really be a franchise-changing deal. The only other player that I see out there, it's even been discussed, that could make the Marlins into a contender would be Jose Ramirez. And I haven't heard his name being traded once. I like Brian Reynolds a lot. Don't get me wrong, but Brian Reynolds is not coming here and single-handedly
not Byron Buxton
plus 10. No, like that's not, but he's not Byron Buxton. So there are not a lot there. To think that he could even be available 5 years ago when he was drafted right now, Jeremy, is astounding, but unfortunately for the Twins. And by the way, Twins have done a fantastic job scouting, developing, winning. There just comes a time where you have to look in the mirror. Maybe this is the time, maybe not. We'll see.
All I was going to say to add to that is this entire time you've been having this conversation, all I could think of is how many times do people as talented as Byron Buxton just sit out there for you to go get them? Like, this isn't free agency. You can go get him now, even if just for the singular year. And just like you mentioned, to put yourself in position to possibly say, okay, hey, we are performing. Hey, he is performing. Hey, he's healthy. Let's have that extension. Or if it doesn't work and he's not healthy, because I understand the trepidation there, that's a legitimate concern for this guy. He would be spoken about he'd have won MVPs. He'd be on that level if he had just been healthy at the early point in his career. So when you talk about that impact level of player, it's risk reward. But when you're in the position that the Marlins are in presently offensively, got to imagine a little risk would be worth that reward. But when I do,
because again, the people who are running this organization have asked for patience, and I feel like they have been given it. And 4 or 5 years in, you're really, in my opinion, lacking on the offensive side. And so is it acceptable for the team to have a losing season this year? 75 wins, 76 wins? I mean, certainly everyone out there can make their own judgment. I don't think it's acceptable. So maybe a big swing is the way to go. How many people feel like that in the organization currently with Miami? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to map that all out. But that's the one to me that it could completely change everything for them. And by the way, one way or the other, too. I mean, it may not work. But to me, it's a risk I want to take if that is out there.
And it's all about, I mean, we've talked about this ad nauseum with this franchise for over a decade, but it's all about calculated risk, right? And it's like, right, you're going and making decisions based off the risk reward. You're not just going and grabbing whatever free agent player is available. This is going and attacking a specific position of need, making trades with the assets that you have, and going and adding to your franchise from there. So we'll see if that happens, but I am intrigued. There have been a few free agents that have already signed across Major League Baseball. Were the Marlins in on any of those? Were the Marlins interested in any of those players?
Yeah, the only one that I could tell you definitively that they were was Manny Pena. So if that gives you an idea of, you know, sort of what they're looking for at catcher, I think that will give you an idea without getting into too many details or going in beyond that. I think just knowing a name to me sets a bar and sets a barometer for what you should be thinking as far as a catcher is concerned. So you could go back, you could look at his numbers. You know, that to me is the guy. And look, I know that Kim Ng has not, I mean, in my opinion, given the best public comments on some of this stuff, but I mean, this is not, you know, Bill Belichick here, and this is not the Patriots. Like, you can acknowledge that the catching is a major deficiency on the Marlins, major deficiency on the Marlins. And so any upgrade is a good upgrade. And so I think Pena would have been good, but again, I'm okay. You know, they didn't get him, fine, but now you kind of know. So that's the kind of catcher, that
caliber of player
that they are looking for. Unfortunately, in terms of free agency with Pedro Severino signing, and he didn't sign for much, but with him signing, there just really isn't a ton in free agency left. I think Yan Gomes is probably the best, the best catcher name out there. And I don't have any indication one way or the other with Yan Gomes, a guy who, you know, could choose to come here or not, or, you know, play somewhere. I don't really have a strong feeling on him one way or the other. So Jeremy, to me, this all comes down to a couple things. And really the one that I think in the end, that I think is going to happen is, I think that the Marlins inevitably, either now or before the season starts, are going to make a very, very big trade. They're going to make I think that's the direction eventually that this is going to go, that they may be involved in free agency to a degree, but I think the real swing, as I keep going back to, is going to be some blockbuster type trade that they're going to make. I think they'll make maybe the biggest impact offseason trade of any team, or they're going to try to, maybe several trades in baseball, because I just simply don't see, you know, $150 million guy coming in. I just don't see it.
Right. So if you can't or won't in this specific circumstance empty the pocketbook for one individual player, man, that was an old sounding phrase. You could go ahead, sound like my grandma. You could go ahead and sort of spread the wealth through trades. Before we wrap up here, and before we just sort of finish off this episode, there's a chance this could end up being our last episode of the calendar year. If,
oh my gosh,
depending on what happens with the CBA and what's going on with Major League Baseball and just where everything is at, do you have any sort of information at the moment as to where things stand with the collective bargaining agreement?
Yeah, I'm following along like everyone else. You know, I maybe have a little bit extra, but my feeling is, at least based on, I don't think anybody knows for sure, but my feeling is, based on what I know, is that unfortunately, I do think some form of a lockout is probably coming next week or whenever that date is. It's pretty soon. I've been given indication from players that they sort of feel that it's coming to no animosity, just sort of like, hey, get ready, you know, find your gym, get your shelter. Trainers ready, because you know you can't work out with your guys that work for the teams. Like, that's it. So get that action prepared. Don't be caught off guard late December when you don't have anyone to work out with. Like, get these things going now. So that's definitely part of that equation. But I don't think we're in for an extended lockout, Jeremy. I think that this is not going to be something that's going to hurt, as the commissioner said, games. I don't see that. I also don't think that this is going to be something that's going to crush free agency. The timing of it is just unfortunate, because what we are getting into is holiday time and New Year's time. And let's be honest, like, that's going to be hard to work itself around. But I mean, will we have free agency in January? I think so. I do. I think so. I think at some point we will. I don't think this is going to be elongated, but I am an optimist on this subject.
Sure hope.
Maybe not like others on this one, but at least from what I understand, a few weeks maybe. You know, this is something it takes a few weeks to hammer out, and maybe mid-January, end of January, we get it done, and we have a wild few weeks of free agency, and then spring training and the games begin. But I personally think there's just too much at stake for both sides to have this go into March and even go into the season. So I'm optimistic on this one, but unfortunately for the winter meetings, which I'm scheduled to go to, and you know, I've every day I look in my phone to make sure I got that number to the hotel and see how many days it's got to be before I cancel that. That's unfortunately, I think that's going to be out, but maybe they'll do a winter meetings in January. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully the optimism is warranted, and this is not an extended lockout, as obviously that could only complicate things more in an already complicated offseason for the Marlins. Craig, before we do wrap this up, any last news and notes that you want to add out there, other than a happy Thanksgiving to everybody listening?
That's pretty much it. I really, it's good to get a little break from this. It was, you know, Jeremy and I were at this every week during the baseball season. During the regular season, it didn't exactly go the way that we thought it was going to go. And I think that the Marlins thought that it was going to go. So we took a little break, but now we are back. And I guess the funny thing is, sometimes you listen to podcasts and they say at the end of these things, now that we're back, we're going to be back again. You're going to be hearing us. And I'm not going to say that here. Okay? I'm not going to do that and lie to you here. But I assure you that when moves are made that are significant in nature and need to be discussed, and there are things that are out there, you know that you can rely on us for that.
Absolutely.
So definitely this is a more open Thanksgiving. I know for a lot of people, getting to see their families again in some way. So I hope everyone enjoys that for sure. I know that we will be doing that here as well, carefully. And wish all of you a very happy Thanksgiving. Hopefully we get to talk pretty soon, maybe sometime in November or December. But until then, from my family to yours, have a very happy Thanksgiving. And for your family, Jeremy, as well.
Oh, thanks, Craig. Yes, everyone listening, thank you so much for all of your support throughout the year. Obviously, Craig and I are incredibly thankful for all of you. We could not and would not do this without any of you. So thank you for listening. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your Thanksgiving football. And we'll be back with some baseball, you know, sometime soon.